Good morning. Can we all stand? Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Why don't you turn around to somebody and tell them it's good to see them this morning.
Yeah. nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. Oh. Our sin was great, your love was greater.
Sing.
of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful, and all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest times, you are close like no other. Oh, I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Happy to be in the house of God today. Well, it's good to see all of you. God bless you. You could be seated and welcome, and happy Father's Day to all of our fathers out there. Why don't we give them a big round of applause? Today's a little special day for me because this is my trial run on Father's Day. This time next year, it's being full force. So if you did not get a white or blue ticket when you came in, if you would slip your hand up, we're going to have someone go around and make sure that we get those out to you. because we've got some really, really good gifts that we're going to be giving out. So just keep your hands up, and they'll be on their way. Is there any in the balcony? I don't know if I see any in the balcony, but okay, there is a couple in the balcony too, gentlemen. So, well, I've got a good story to tell you. I read the other day that a man, he was down on his luck and just flat out broke, and he really told the Lord. He said, "God, if you just make a way for me to get $3,000, I could make it." He said, "In fact, Lord, if you could give me $3,000, he said, "I'd give $1,000 to the poor, I'd give $1,000 to the sick, I'd keep $500, and I'd give you $500. Well, about a week later, a check shows up in the mail from a long lost uncle. Didn't know anything about it. He had $3,000. And, well, he said, "Well, I'm going to be true to my word." So he went with that first $1,000 to give it to the poor, and he couldn't find anyone that was poorer than he was. Then he went to give that other $1,000 to the sick, and he really wasn't feeling well that day. He kept his $500, and he said, "God, I'll give you your $500 when I see you next time." So probably not a good way to work that out with the Lord. I wouldn't want to show up to heaven's gate owing God $500. Amen. So does everyone have a ticket? Everyone have a ticket right now? So, all right, Pastor, we're ready, and we'll gather these together. So okay, don't worry, they're on their way down with the, I'm sure that's the winning ticket Brother Cameron's running down with right now. I hope you didn't mind that.
Hey, I'm your Vanna White today. For all you Christians that don't know Vanna, you know, God bless you.
Only seen her on the radio.
Yeah, exactly. What are we doing, Josh?
All right, is everybody, we've got all tickets. Everybody's got a ticket. You got two or just one? Okay, just
keep your one.
Keep your one, and then there should be an extra one.
Okay. All right.
All right. Perfect. Okay. All right, Sister Cherie. All right, it's a blue ticket. The last four is 0610. Blue ticket, the last four is 06.
Come on, Brother Hamilton. Congratulations.
All right. All right, sis.
This is a nice lawn chair rocker.
Well, hold on before you pull that. Jared's not here, huh? I'm just kidding. No, we're making sure. Can she go for him? So, got to be present to win. So, all right. It is a white ticket, and the last four is 7206. 72. All right.
Check you out. Are you 18? All right, you better be. I ain't giving that to you if you're not.
All right. All right,
no,
now.
I'm joking.
Here's the...
All right.
For the grand prize.
Grand prize.
Yep. I'm Man. Already out. I've been trying to win this Yeti for years and
Me
hadn't
and
happened yet. I'm already out. So
Me
it's a blue
both.
Ticket. Blue ticket. Last four, 0624. Blue ticket.
Oh, come on.
Luckiest man on Father's Day right there.
He's got it. Good job, man. Congratulations.
All right. Thank you again for our dads. We know it's a special day for you guys. And before we get back to our service, I want to remind you of a few announcements. Today, dads, moms, everyone, we have one service. Today, this morning, is our only service. We will not have evening service today. So, and we'll kick back evening services next Sunday. So next Sunday, we have a 10 o'clock service for the morning, and we have a 6 p.m. service. And then our last announcement, if you are looking to contribute to Mother's Memorial, That is a thing that we give to as a church. If you're looking to give to that, the deadline to give to Mother's Memorial is July the 15th. As our ushers come forward, probably should have called them early, a little bit sooner, so sorry about that. Got sidetracked. So how we do offering is a little bit different. Again, if you're a guest with us, we're thankful you're here. You're not obligated to give by no means, but this is a time that we allow our church family to give. We do it a little different with the baskets here at the front, so no one has to touch the offering plate as it goes around. So if you would like, we'll take this section here at the end. In this section, they'll come up first, followed by the second sections. Again, and then followed at the end by the center section, and we will have someone go to the balcony with a basket for your convenience. So God bless you as you give. Worship with us.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are high.
Give God praise. So let's do that this morning. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I think we can do a much better job than that. Let's give God praise. Thank you. Amen. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen. Turn around and wave at a father and just tell him Happy Father's Day. It's so great to see all of you. We are delighted that you have chosen to be with us. I do want to just remind you, if you would, put on your prayer list Lawton Royer. Remember Lawton. He is in need of our prayers. Remember the Yellets, Brother Mitch Martin, Brother Earl Mayo. And I know that there are others. And if you will, just remember them in your prayers. To all of our guests, those of you, I see you, and I know that you've come to be with your father or your father-in-law. Sincerely, thank you. I know that you have made their day and by you being here with them in the house of the Lord. So thank you for that. Here's a little bit of humor. Hopefully it'll make you smile. There was this faithful couple, and they got the bad news from their doctor that they couldn't have any children. And so on their way home from the doctor, they were led to drop by the pastor and ask for prayer. And the pastor ran a little auto repair shop. And so they went in there and they said, "Pastor, we can't have any children. We would like for you to pray for us." And he said, "Sure." So he just kind of looked around the shop and he saw a 3-in-1 oil. He got it and he blessed it and then he anointed them. And so sure enough, 9 months later, man, they had triplets. Yep. And so the couple showed up once again at the pastor's study. And as soon as the woman saw the pastor, she ran up to him, threw her arms around him, and gave him the biggest hug. And the pastor said, "Well, what's that for?" And she replied, "I'm just glad you used 3-in-1 and not WD-40. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we have taken the time to get ourselves dressed, to get our kids dressed, to go through the routine of a Sunday morning, to now be here in your house. And I know that we live in a day of distraction. And Father, I just pray that you would help us now to let our spirit, soul, and body be in unison in one place, and let our ears be open to hear the word of the Lord, so that God, we are changed by your word. And God, we just pray that you would anoint our minds and our hearts to do your will, that we would bear forth fruit and that you would be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. We tend as people to base our decisions on 4 motivations in life. Number one is circumstances. And that just simply means what's happening around me. The second motivation that we make decisions on is convenience. In other words, what's easy. The third motivation is criticism. If I make this decision, then what are people going to say about me? And then the fourth motivation that we base our decisions on is convictions. Now, everybody say the word convictions. Convictions. Convictions is the only decisions that are based off of convictions are the really the only decisions that's going to last. I'm going to say that again. The only decisions that are based on your convictions will be what lasts, because a conviction is a deeply held belief that guides your life. Now, you will argue about your opinions, but you will die for your convictions. You say, what can make a man or a lady lose their life for the cause of Christ? Here's what it is: because they have such a deep conviction that this is not the end, that there is an eternity and there is a God. And it will cause men and women, and has caused them, to give their life not based off an opinion, but based off of a conviction. So you can see why the people that have made the greatest impact in all of the world were those with the deepest convictions. Convictions explain how that President Ronald Reagan could stand in Berlin, and against virtually all political advice, he would stand and say, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Conviction explains how former Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher could recall the political compromise that was coming against her. And she responded by saying, "The lady is not for turning." If you understand what she was meaning is that I'm here and I'm not turning because there's criticism or there's pressure from you to try to get me to turn. I'm not going to turn because this is a conviction and it is a deep belief that I build my life upon, and I'm not turning for you or anyone else or for criticism. I'm going to hold fast because this is a conviction. If you think about it, every leader, whether it be a man, woman, boy, or girl, they are remembered for making a positive difference in history. Those people have deep and strong convictions. I want you to think about this. Most Americans consider the President of the United States to be the highest office of leadership. But how many people can name 15 of the 45 men who have held that office? How many of you have even heard of a man, President Chester A. Arthur? One. How many have heard of a President William Henry Harrison? Two, three. Most people don't even know of them. But I guarantee you almost every hand would go up if I would ask you who is the 16th president of the United States. Your hand would go up because most of you would know that's Abraham Lincoln, because he had a very strong conviction. And because he had a strong conviction, he literally helped to change history. Without convictions, men, nothing really matters and nothing of significance is passed on. Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is what he said. He encouraged them to know that the gospel had come to them, not only in word, but also in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then a translation, the ESV says, with full convictions. It came with full conviction. The power of God's word is what you build your life on, because it gives you convictions for your life. Everybody say convictions. Do you understand that fads change? Fashion changes. Psychology changes. Your school textbooks change. People change. There's only one thing, men, that doesn't change, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God never changes. In my study and in my reading, I came across something I found very interesting. I read that Steve Jobs was a master of intuition in the matters of style and aesthetics. The story is told that he took a prototype of the iPhone and he closed his eyes and he ran his hand and his finger over the iPhone and over the edges and over the back with his eyes closed, because he had a certain idea in his mind of how he wanted this iPhone to feel when it was in your hands. So I say to all of the men, I say this: we hold something more precious in our hands than an iPhone. We hold in our hands the Word of God. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God will stand forever. I believe that the greatest conviction that we can have as men is to know it's all about God. Say it with me. It's all about God. It's more fun when we do it together. It's all about God. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not about prophets. It's not about politics or anything else. Brothers and sisters, please make no mistake. It is all about God. And if that is true, and it is, then what is the implication of that truth? Well, here it is. If it's all about God and it's not about me and it's not about you and it's not about making money and it's not about he who has the most toys wins, if it's not about any of that, then listen, if we think that it's about that and we miss that it's all about God, then really we're wasting our life. Can I say it again? We're wasting our life. That's my first conviction that I want to talk about this morning is this. It's all about God. And men, if we don't get that right, it really doesn't matter what else we do. Because it's all about God and it's about His Word. My second conviction that I submit to you this morning is this. Only the kingdom of God is going to last forever. Only the kingdom is going to last forever. Nothing else is going to last. No business will last forever. No government's going to last forever. No nation is going to last forever. But here's what it says in Luke 1 and verse 33. It says this, of his kingdom there shall be no end. There's never going to be an end to the kingdom of God. 1,000 years from now, it's very doubtful that we will know and the United States of America. The U.S. of A. probably won't be here 1,000 years from now. Why do you say that? Because look at history. Where's the Roman government? Where's the Greek government? Where's the Babylonian Empire? They no longer exist. Think of great companies in the 80s, such as Kodak. Kodak no longer exists. Why? Because nothing lasts forever. Most likely 1,000 years from now, you won't know of a Microsoft company or an Apple company or an IBM or an Amazon. Why? Because nothing lasts forever. There's only one thing, brothers and sisters, that lasts forever, and that is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And if you want to be a part of something that is greater than anything else, then I suggest you become or get in the kingdom of God. And there's something within men and women, we want our names to be remembered. And there are wealthy people that will pay millions, millions of dollars to have their name in the, it's, you know, the George Smith, the West Wing of a college, or it's, you know, Bill Gates on the East Wing of an institution, whatever, because we want our names to be remembered. But let me just tell you something. If you don't have millions of dollars to invest in a college to carry on your name, make sure that your name is written in His book. And if your name is written in His book, and if you've been born again in the kingdom, then guess what? You're a part of something that's going to always live on forever. And your name is written in the only book that matters. And in fact, my Bible tells me this, that for those who have been born again, He has engraven your name in the palm of His hands so that every time He looks at His hands, He sees your name. If you want to be a part of something that's greater than anything else in the world, then make sure you're a part of the kingdom of God and that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Somebody give God some praise in His house this morning. Here's my third conviction, and y'all gonna have to hang on for this one because this one's tough. Here it is. God expects me to love everybody. Life is not, men, about the acquisition of things. It's not about achievement. It's not about popularity. It's about learning how to love. I knew that'd go over like a lead balloon. If we miss that, we have missed the entire lesson of life. The second most important thing, men, that we can do, the Bible tells us this. It's found in Mark 12 and 31. To love your neighbor as yourself. Here it is. There is nobody on earth that you are not called to love. That means people who are different from us. Come on. We don't tend to love people who are different from us. Oh, I have one honest person. Boy, you know, I'm astounded at y'all's perfection. It amazes me. It would be awesome to be you. We tend not to love people who are different from us. That means different races, different cultures, different religions, different faiths, different beliefs. We tend not to love people who are different from us. Here's the next person we tend not to love: difficult people. How many know a difficult person? Don't look at your husband. Don't look at your wife. No, just look straight at me. How many know it's difficult to love difficult people? People who cut you off in traffic. People who give you sign language in traffic. Yes, I know about that. People who are rude. Have you ever been among a person who monopolizes the whole conversation? You just can't get a word in edgewise? Yeah, you know them. People who are selfish. People who are impatient. It's difficult to love difficult people. Some of you may have a boss who's very arrogant and treats you very rudely, and yet God wants you to love that boss. Listen, you can't do that without the love of Christ. I have people ask me, Pastor, why have you built your life upon the Word of God? How do you know that it's true? There's a number of reasons I could tell you on why I believe the Word of God is true, but my number one reason is this: because man would have never written such a high standard for himself. I can't break that down because I don't have time. I got to stay with my subject. But man would have never said just one wife. Because, y'all are looking at me. Because men think they can handle two or three and they can't handle the one they got. Yeah, you're not shaking your head yes, but I'm right. And you know I'm right. Man would have never said to love everybody, because we don't love everybody. We only love those who are look like us, act like us, believe like us. That's why I know the Word of God is true, because you can't live this. Y'all hear me? I'm preaching now. You can't live this Bible without the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. It's too high of a standard for you to live it by yourself. That's why you and I have to go to the cross and say, God, help me, Lord, because it's not within me to live this, but Lord, I need you to live it through me. Does that make sense? Yeah, and that's why we got to love everybody. Why? Because God so loved the world. Say the world. Who's left out in that phrase? I'm fixing to blow your mind now. That means the rapist. That means the abuser. That means the molester. I don't like the molester. I don't like the abuser. I don't like people who want to blow America up. I'm going to be honest with you. In my flesh, I don't like them. But God didn't give me a choice. He said, Wayne, they may not be on your front row, but you need to love everybody. Love the black man. Love the Hispanic man. Love the Asian man. Love the people you don't agree with. You don't have the same values as. Your culture's different from them. He doesn't cut me any slack. He says, love everybody. Come on, somebody. And then, if that didn't cover it, he says this. He said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Are you joking me? Are you kidding me, God? This is how I know man didn't write this. Because man doesn't naturally love his enemies. That's the right. Come on, isn't that pushing it a little too far? You want me to love everybody? And then I say, okay, I'm going to love everybody. Then he said, no, I'm going to go a step further. Love your enemies. You say, Pastor, you have a Bible for that? You know what? I actually do. Thank you for asking. It's found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Love your enemies and do good to them. And it goes on. It says this. Here's Luke 6 and 35. Lend and expect nothing back. You mean you want me to give them money and expect nothing back? Mm-hmm. That's right. And we'd be charging people interest. Oh, I'm going to give it to you all right. But just know that's 23% interest. Mm-hmm. And here's what it says. And you then will have a great reward, and you will be the children of the Most High. Check this out. Check this out. For he is good to the ungrateful and the wicked. Now, that's in your Bible. Now, I'm reading from a different version. That's the nearly inspired version, the NIV. But I'm still reading from the Bible, right? He is good, what does it say, to the ungrateful and the wicked. That means that God loves the ungrateful and he loves the wicked. And even though they may be your enemy, he says, I want you to love them. So let me ask you a question. Who's your enemies? You say, well, I don't have any. Of course you do. Yes, you have enemies. They are the people who have different values and different views than you do. Your enemies are the people who don't like your views and your values. Right now, there are people in this country who would love to totally change the Christian values of this country. There are people around the world. I know this may hurt your feelings, but there are people in this world who would love to totally obliterate every American off of the face of the earth because they hate America. And I got to be honest with you, in my flesh, I would love to hate people who hate America and who hate our Christian Judeo values. It's not easy for me to love them because my flesh says, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Right? That's my flesh. But my spirit says, I gotta love every person that doesn't even love America, that doesn't love my Christian values, that doesn't love the color of my skin, that doesn't appreciate my culture. I gotta love them. That's my conviction. And when it's your conviction, brothers and sisters, it's a deeply held belief that changes you. I don't have a right to be rude to anyone, even though I may not see eye to eye with them. Does that make sense? There are some people that I just don't want to respect. But just because somebody believes differently than us does not mean we should demonize them. You're not going to win anybody that you're fighting. You know, I'm sorry to say, but religion has had the idea that if you're not a part of my group, well, then you're not going to make it. I'm going to tell you, that is not the truth. How do I know that? Because my Bible tells me they're going to be saved out of every nation, every tribe, every kindred, and every tongue. God's going to have a church. And guess what? He loves diversity. How do I know that? Because I see the different colors of the flowers. I see the different landscapes around the world, the different diversities of people. And guess what? If you think heaven is going to be all Anglo, you are sadly mistaken. Because the Bible says they're going to be there from every tribe, every nation, every kindred, and every tongue. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves the world. Amen. Here's my fourth conviction. The whole world needs Jesus. Say it with me. The whole world needs Jesus. Say it like you mean it. The whole world needs Jesus. Jesus said this very clearly in Matthew 28 and 19. Go therefore into all the world and make disciples of all nations. This is not the great suggestion. This is the great commission. It means locally, it means regionally, and it means globally. God hasn't called me to be a missionary, but this is why my wife and I personally support missions. Because even though I'm not called to go, I believe that the gospel should be preached around the world. So I'm willing to invest our hard-earned dollars into missions. And then wherever I go, I want to be the light of the love of God. Whether it's here or whether it's in Sulphur, it doesn't matter. I don't have a right, ladies and gentlemen, not to love people who are different than me. That's why, brothers and sisters, I've opened up my arms and embraced people in the Hope House. Guys, y'all mind if I use you just a second? I can't stay here long. But listen, it doesn't matter if they have 5 tattoos or 10 tattoos. It doesn't matter if they got earrings in their ears. It doesn't matter that they didn't come from the same background as you. God died for them just as He died for you. And they're going to make heaven just as soon as we're going to make heaven. God, I got to preach. God didn't call this to be a black church, an Anglo church, a Hispanic church. He said, I want my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. We must share the good news. Say it with me. We must. We must share the good news. Listen, let me ask you a question. If you knew the cure for Alzheimer's and you told no one about it, would that be criminal? Sure it would. If you knew the cure for COVID-19 today and you didn't share it with the world, would it be criminal? Answer this question. If you knew the cure for all cancer and you held it to yourself and you did not share it, would that be criminal? Then, brothers and sisters, we have the hope for all mankind. We have something greater than the cure for cancer. It's called the cure for the human heart. And the only thing that can change the human heart is the gospel, is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It can change the heart. It can change the eternal destiny of men and women. And we have it. Shout, I've got it. Shout, I've got it. What do you have? You have the cure for the human heart, and it's called the gospel. We do know the cure for the deepest needs of mankind. They need a savior. They need forgiveness. They need their past forgiven. Yes, they do. They need a purpose for living, and they need a home in heaven, and we can help get them there. Jesus says this in John 3:17, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. A lot of religious people act like God hates the world. He doesn't. He come to die for the world. God doesn't hate the world. He loves the world. Can I just remind you of something right now? What we're seeing all around the world is only acting like the world acts. And the religious world is so mad at the world, I can't believe they're acting like that. You acted like that before you got Christ. Yes, you did. Why did you change? Because you got some convictions. This word started convicting you. It started letting you know that it's not about you. It's all about Him. It started letting you know you got to love everybody. And as this word started getting into your heart, it started changing who you are. They're only acting that way because they don't have this word in their heart. They don't have the gospel. They don't know the good news. They're just acting like the world is supposed to act. But you know what Jesus did? He walked right into Roman oppression and said, I am the light of the world. And his little followers thought, man, we're fixing to take over Rome. And God said, no, you don't get that. This that I'm talking about is more powerful than Rome. Because Rome will be here today, but it's not going to be here forever. But my kingdom's going to be here forever. And when my kingdom gets established in the earth, my will be done. My kingdom come. Then it changes everything. Whoo, do you receive that word? Just slip your hand up and say, Lord, I receive your word right now. Come on. Come on, talk to him right now. God, I receive your word. Yes, Lord. Here's what I'm saying. We need to stop judging the world and criticizing the world and just get busy sharing the gospel. It doesn't do any good for us to curse the darkness. Let's just bless the light. I'm going to say that again. A lot of Christians, and I've been guilty, just cursing the world, so to speak. I can't believe they're only acting like what they should be acting like. You know what? When I come into this house, I don't have to ask the darkness to leave. All I have to do is turn on the light. And when I turn on the light, the darkness has no choice. When you walk into a room, you are the light of the world. Hallelujah. Start sharing the gospel with everybody you know. Come on, somebody. I want you to notice. See, the world looks at people in a certain way, but the gospel looks at people in a certain way. And I'm hurrying. The gospel values people, but the world doesn't value people. How do I know that? Because here's how politicians look at people. They look at people as a vote. Business owners look at people as a consumer, a customer. And I'm sad to say this, most men look at women as sex objects. Because we look at people as things. They're things to give me a vote. They're things to give me a pleasure. They're things to buy my product. And God doesn't look at people as things. He looks at people as eternity. They're going to live somewhere forever. Did you know, get this, you're going to live as long as God does? Think about it. You're going to live as long as God does somewhere, because you're going to get a new body. And that body is either going to live forever with Him in heaven, and I can't even hardly speak the other place. Because to think that one of my loved ones, I really can't hardly even say it. But God didn't prepare hell for our loved ones. He prepared it for the devil and his angels. But people are going to go based off of their choices and their convictions. And I want you to grab a hold of these convictions, because they can change your life. That it's not about me, it's about Him. I want to be a part of something that's going to be forever, and that's the kingdom of God. God didn't call me just to love my kind. He called me to love everybody. Then He wants me to share the gospel, because the gospel has the power to change the world. See, the reason why you're here and the reason why I'm here is because He sees in you what I see in you and what many of you don't even see in yourself. And that is, guess what? You've got the power to change the climate. I'm going to say that again. Look at your neighbor and tell them this. You have the power. Come on, it's more fun when we all do it together. Tell them, you have the power to change the climate. You wouldn't be here right now if God didn't intend to use you. Why did He put you here right now? Because He wants you to walk in the darkness. Instead of cursing the darkness, bless the light. I've got something that the world needs. The gospel can change the world. Come on, act like you believe that right now. I said the gospel can change the world. I've got to wrap this up. Here's my conviction, that everything is possible with God. Say that with me. Everything. Everything is possible with God. Matthew 19 and 26, but Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. People say, who do you think you are? That's the wrong question. That's not even the right question. Who do I think God is? He's all powerful. He can do anything. He was here before time, and He's going to be here after all of this is over. God can do the impossible. And so what does this verse mean? It means that God is waiting on you to trust Him, because He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can even ask or think, according to the power that works in you. He just wants you to keep trusting Him. And when you see a situation, hey, I'm just like you. I get down because I look with my eyes and say, how is this going to change? But then I got to go back to the Word and remind myself. My conviction is this: with God, all things are possible. This marriage can change. This person can change. Can't do it without God, but with God, all things are possible. Say this with me. God wants to do amazing things in my life. Yes, He does. God wants to do amazing things in your life. I'm begging you this morning. I'm imploring you. Please stop saying I can't. Please stop saying I can't. I can't make this marriage work, Pastor. I just can't do what God's called me to do. Let me tell you something. That's a lie. Here's my conviction. With God, all things are possible. Do you know what is the opposition to your faith? It's not other people. It's not critics. It's not even the devil. You know what it is? We're our own worst problem. Because we start walking by what our eyes see instead of walking by the Word of God. Are you with me? Are you with me? It's our own unbelief. Let's believe God for more. What you say? Let's believe God for more. Let's trust God more. Let's get the conviction that with God, all things are possible. And I end with this. Here's my sixth conviction, and that is history's conclusion is inevitable. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I believe with all of my heart that it's done, that it's finished, that there's no doubt God wins in the end. How do you know? Because I go back and I've read the back of this book and I built my life on this book that it's true. And so I had the conviction that God wins in the end, no matter all the chaos, no matter all the stupidity, no matter what Trump does, no matter what who does, when they do it, doesn't matter. God is going to have a church. And he looked at his prophet when his prophet was all down in the dumps. And he said, let me tell you something, Elijah. I got 7,000 people that's never even bowed their knee to Baal. Never bowed their knee to Baal. Here's what I know. In the end, God's going to have a church. You may not be in it. I may not be in it. But God's going to have a church. And we both can be in it if we make the choice not to keep our eyes on the government, not to put our eyes on people, but to keep our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Here's what the Bible says. This is in Philippians chapter 2. Every knee, say every. Every knee is going to bow. That means Adolf Hitler is going to bow to Jesus. That means Stalin is going to bow to Jesus. That means Bill Gates is going to bow to Jesus. That means the owner of Amazon is going to bow to Jesus. Every man, woman, boy, and girl is going to bow to Jesus, and they are going to confess that there is only one Lord and that Jesus is God, that he is the Lord. So it's going to go his way. I'm going to tell you something. If I knew somebody that it was going to go their way no matter what, I'd be sure to hook my wagon. If you're not connected to God and God's kingdom, I'm telling you, you're losing. He's not losing. If you make the choice not to follow him, God hurts because you're losing. You're losing. What would you do, Pastor? I'm going to tell you something. If you want to be a man who matters, then have strong convictions. And before you walk out of here, get the conviction that it's all about God. It's not about me. Get the next conviction that if I want to be a part of something that's going to last forever, I need to be a part of the kingdom. And then get a conviction that it's about loving everybody, no matter who they are or where they come from. Then get the conviction that it's the gospel. It's the gospel, and everybody deserves to hear the gospel because it's the cure for the human heart. Does that make sense? Okay. And then get the conviction this, that everything is possible with God. And in the end, God wins. Would you stand with me? I come across a statistic, and I may not be exactly right, but I'm close. It says that most men who are incarcerated, 70% of most men who are incarcerated, do not have a father in the home. That's very high. 70% of all men who are incarcerated do not have a father in the home. 70% of all men who are incarcerated do not have a father in the home. Men, I cannot tell you how important that you are. And guess what? I know I can't change the world, but I can change the climate of my home. And I have decided to build my whole life around the conviction of this word. No, I never put an iPhone in my hand to feel the nuances and to make sure it felt just right, but I have many times placed my hand upon this word. And many times I have taken this word and I have opened it up to my wife and to Trey and to Molly. And I have expounded this word because I want them to have the same convictions that I have, because it changes you. Men, can I talk to you in the closing remarks? We don't need weak men. We don't need men who's going to cower to what people are going to think. And in this day and age, it's going to get more and more difficult to let your light shine as a Christian. And you got to have the conviction, come what may, my hope is in Jesus. My hope is in Jesus. Do I have any believers here right now? Would you just throw your hands up and say, God, Lord, I want that conviction. Come on, throw your hands up all over this house and say, God, I want the conviction that it's all about you. It's not about me. God, I want the conviction that I gotta love everybody. God, I want the conviction that is the gospel that can change the world. It's not reform, it's not politics, it's not sitting at a round table discussion. It's man's got a sin problem and only God is the Savior. Come on, men, come on, women, throw your hands up right now. Ask God, God, plant it in my heart. It's gonna be more and more difficult to stand for righteousness and godliness and Christian values. As we march into this end time hour, God, help me as a man. Come on, men, I'm appealing to you right now. Raise your family on the inerrant word of God. Before you go, I just want to tell you something. There's a lot of beliefs out there, and I'm not here to down anyone's belief, right? Okay? Because I don't believe we're the only ones that's going to make heaven. Okay? I don't. But what I see in the Word of God, here's what I see. I see that Jesus came preaching a message of repentance, and he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What is repentance? It's a change of mind that produces a change of heart, that produces a change of behavior. That's repentance. And God came preaching that message as well as John the Baptist. Repentance is necessary in all of our lives. And it's not just a one-time thing. How many had to ask your wife to forgive you once and you've never had to ask her to forgive you again? Any hands? I didn't think so. You know why? Because there's many times you have disagreements and you had to go back and say, I'm sorry, right? There's many times you don't live up to this high standard and you had to come back and say, God, forgive me. I didn't meet the standard. I didn't make it today, right? And then listen, you can't live this high of a standard on willpower alone. No, there's no way. You can't do it. So this is why God sent his only begotten son, right? He went to the cross to forgive you of your sins. And then he went to heaven so he could pour out the comforter. Now, what is the comforter? The comforter is part of the very nature, the DNA, the very spirit of God. And he gives that to you, right? And without the Spirit, the Bible says this, you're none of his. I didn't say that. I'm not mad at anybody. So what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that the good news of the gospel is that you can ask God to forgive you of all your sins and he'll do it. And you can ask God to fill you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? Something's going to come on you that's not you because it's Christ and it's in you and it's going to change your life. And then you're baptized in his name. You carry on the name of Christ. I want you to bow your heads now. If you don't know Christ, I want you to bow your head. I want everybody to bow your heads. Father, Lord, I'm not here, God, to make people. It's not my job. Your job is to convict us all. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that's not in the kingdom of God, that they would simply just repent of their sins and ask you to forgive them. And then, Lord, I'm asking that they would be open and willing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as you give the utterance. And then, Lord, to be baptized in your wonderful name, for there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And, Father, I'm praying that every person under the sound of my voice would have a love for you and would have a love for others. Keep us all in your care in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. If you receive the word, would you give God a big hand clap of praise? Whatever your social distancing rules are, God bless you. If you want to hug, hug. If you want to fist bump, fist bump. If you don't want nobody to touch you, just put a big X over your heart. I love all of you. Pray you have a great Father's Day. God bless you.